Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Of your heart, I see the years of fear and pain on your face, but take a step and enter in. You are safe in this place. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too wounded, never too far gone. It's here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. Come find the perfect love that no one deserves. A peace so sweet it can't be put into words. And a grace that's greater than the darkness of sin. Taste and see and take his hand and let the healing begin. You're never too broken to belong. Never too wounded and never too far gone. Here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. We too are wounded and defeated, so we know how you feel. but by the wounds of our Redeemer, we believe we are healed. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too wounded and never too far gone. It's here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too broken to belong. The door is open, come on in as you are.
I'm very, very burdened right now. I feel like there may be a hindering spirit. I'm not saying that someone here has done something or said something to hinder the work of Christ. I'm not suggesting that. But sometimes the devil fights. And there is a hindering spirit. If we're trying to do anything for God, you're going to be hindered. And, of course, I've used this illustration, and I'll use it again. If the faster you drive your car, the more resistance you have. And the more we do for the Lord, the more quickly we go about his business, the more resistance we're going to have. Sometimes that comes in the form of people problems. I tell you, years ago I worked at a mall, and I knew then I did not want to be in the retail business because of the people problems. And I said, man, there's no way I want to have to deal with the general public the rest of my life. And so I said, I'm not going to do that. And so I decided, since I liked cars so much, that I was going to sell cars. And you know what I found there? I found people problems. After that, I went, well, prior to that, I worked at a place that some of you love. And it's called Cracker Barrel. I was 20 years old. And man, I went in there and I became claustrophobic working there because I was in the kitchen and there's no windows. And I didn't like that. But more than anything, I didn't like it because of the people problems. So the Lord, being funny as he can be sometimes, he's permitted me to be in the ministry where there's people problems. Now, the bottom line is no matter where we go, what line of work we're in our life, there's going to be people problems. And I must say, in the church, I do not mind the people problems. I don't at all. I actually thank the Lord for those people problems. Years ago, I think I've shared with you, and I will again. We pastored at Faith Baptist Church prior to coming to Westside, and we had a bad problem in the church that I had to deal with, and it was deep, dark sin, and I had to deal with it. And what arose out of that were more people problems. And before that happened, I had a lot more people problems because the church was bigger. And we were running, I guess, 120, 125-ish. And you have the people problems. But after the church split, after that bad issue that I had to deal with, and you know what I found? I found that I didn't have as many people problems anymore. And you know what I started asking the Lord? I started asking him for people problems again. Another illustration was I was always frustrated with the first classroom on the right that went down the hall toward the fellowship building, or to the fellowship hall. It was all connected. And I would be frustrated because that first classroom had, I guess, the first available trash can. So everybody in the church, when they went by, they threw something in that trash can, and that trash can was always running over with garbage. I don't mean food or stuff like that, but trash. It's pouring out on the carpet. I get so aggravated. Why in the world would somebody put more trash in that trash can, knowing the trash can can't hold the trash and the trash goes on the carpet? Do you feel my frustration? But after the split, the trash can never ran over again. So I asked God, I asked him to please fill the trash can up again. I asked him for the people problems. See, Satan does use people problems, but what I learned from that was is God uses them more than the devil does. He uses those people issues and people problems to grow us. And we need to be appreciative when we have people problems. There's that way that the devil does fight, But also there's the thing of just a hindering spirit, an oppressive spirit. There's been times, I'm going somewhere, there's been times when we've been in at home, not as of late, but I remember years ago we were at home and there was just a bad spirit in the house. And Lisa came out of the bedroom and said, "What is going on?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "There's an oppressive spirit in this house and I cannot take it. What is going on?" And I said, "I don't know." So we began to pray and ask God to remove this oppressive spirit that was in our home. We found that Satan can hinder through that oppressive spirit. And see, the devil can't possess a Christian. If somebody says that they're a Christian and they're possessed of the devil, I promise you, they're not God's child. So the devil, he can't possess us, but he does what he can to oppress us. And I don't understand how it works. I really don't. How he sprinkles oppressive pixie dust around the room. I don't know how the devil does it. But nevertheless, he has the capability to lay this oppressive spirit out in your home sometimes. So yes, the devil fights in many ways. Sometimes he encourages us to take steps financially that later on come back to haunt us. That's right. How many times have we gone out to do something or buy something and what do we say? Yes, we've prayed about it and we think this is God's will. But the truth is, we prayed about it as a formality more than we did as an avenue to ask permission from God. And so, yes, there's people problems. The devil uses that. And then there's an oppressive spirit, and the devil uses that. And then there's times where he works with or against us in our decision-making processes. And then we fight those battles because of bad decisions. So I'm just saying, he fights in a lot of different ways. I believe that if I went down every road or every path or avenue that the devil fights us on or in, we would be here all evening and maybe into the morning time. So we're not going to do that, obviously, but I do want to say that when he does come on us, that we have some things we can grab a hold of. We have some levers. We have some handles. There's some things that we can rely on in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 41, and verse 10, now I understand here that Isaiah, he is writing to Israel. And if you read the book of Isaiah, you'll find that he has and is scolding Israel. He's warning Israel. He's telling Israel of the coming judgment that they will have to endure because of their rebellion. But he also tells them of some good stuff. He tells them of what God will do for them and will help them with. And so it's not all negative, but there's some good stuff in here for Israel. And I believe that the Lord did not just put this in here in his precious word for Israel, but he did it for you and me. And there's things that we can rely on tonight. And I just want to share them with you, then we'll go to the house. But here in Isaiah chapter 41, it said in verse 10, "Fear thou not." What's got your goat tonight? What's got you on the ropes? has got you seemingly in a spiritual, emotional, or psychological headlock tonight. God is looking at you here tonight at Westside Baptist Church, and he's saying, fear thou not. Whatever it is that seems to have you, you don't worry about it. Let's move on, because there's some stuff I want to say here. I believe the Lord wants me to say. Then he goes on to say, and this is God speaking, for I am with thee. So God is saying, fear thou not. Why not, God? Don't you understand, Lord, what I'm going through? Can't you see where I am, where I've been, what's happening, or what has happened to me? Oh, God, what do you mean, fear thou not? And he's saying, that's right, fear thou not, because I am with thee. And then he goes a little further than that. Not only is he instructing us to fear thou not, not only is he assuring us that I am with thee, but then he instructs us again, be not dismayed. And you know what that means. Don't gaze out in anxiety. Now, folks, I want to say to you again, as I've said probably 50 times in 8 years, it's easier sometimes to preach some things than it is to practice some things in our Christian walk. And I believe this may be one of them. It's easy to preach, fear thou not. It's easy to preach, for I am with thee. It's easy to preach, be not dismayed or glazed over in anxiety. But the truth is this is a command from God. And it's not a command of rebuke, but it is a demand, an encouraging demand. I've had the demands of rebuke before, and I remember growing up as a child having those demands. I remember getting spanked, and then you couldn't stop crying. And then I've done it to mine, stop that crying. That's a demand of rebuke. This is a demand to let you know and let me know that we are loved. Fear thou not. I'm with thee. Fear thou not. I love thee. Don't look out into a distance. Don't be dismayed. Don't be overcome with anxiety. Why? Because I am thy God. And I'm just not going to stop there, Christian. It's not that I am your God. It's that I am not going to stand by and do nothing. Then he says, I will strengthen thee. So he says, fear thou not. He says, I am with thee. I am thy God. I'm not standing idle. I will strengthen thee. Yea. Then he says, I said all that. Now listen to this. Yea. In other words, fellas, I'm saying, as your God, as your strength, I will help thee. Yea, and let me even say so, he's saying, I will uphold thee. He says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Blessed be his holy name. He is holy, 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 and he's saying this holiness, this right hand of holiness will hold you up. Your lifting up by my right hand is as sure as my holiness is. Isn't that wonderful? Then he says this, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed. This thing, behold, all they that were incensed against thee, all they that were furious with thee, all they that were angry with thee, all they that burn against thee. That burning is talking about a violence, a wound, or a hurt. All they that burn or wound you or thee. He says this shall be ashamed and confounded. Listen to this. They shall be as nothing. Did you hear that? Somebody beat you up verbally, emotionally, maybe even physically, I don't know. There's going to come a time where they will be as nothing to you. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Pastor, when you're in a battle, when you're in the middle of the burn that we just spoke about, you just don't see how this can happen. You say, God, not even God can fix this mess. But then you start watching those that have gone out to maim, kill, and destroy you. And even your reputation. And then all of a sudden, you can't find them. All of a sudden, the ones that stood so tall and loud, God has removed them from the scene. Yes, even sometimes by death. But yes, sometimes because they just fade into the woodwork, God just says, I can't use them anymore. He's defending you. But you don't know what's happened to me, preacher. You're right. And maybe I never will. But those that go out to hurt the children of God, they become as nothing. Nothing. God causes them to become inefficient, not usable. And they dwindle away and dissipate like a vapor in the summertime. We don't realize that because we're in the middle of the war. We're in the middle of the furiousness. We're the recipient of the anger and the burn, and the hurt is so deep and so long that we just can't seem to stand it. But I'm here to tell you, Christian, that there will be a day, and it won't be long, that those that have hurt, those that have wounded, those that have gone after, they will be as nothing. God's word says it. It's not our right, and should not be our desire, although I cannot say that I have always lived above this, what I'm about to say, but it should not be our desire to see these that are furious with us or angry with us or burn or hurt us so deeply. It should not be our desire to see them get theirs. Because God says, vengeance is mine. I shall what? Saith who? The Lord. And we, to keep ourselves from going crazy, to keep ourselves from having a nervous breakdown, I'll just be honest with you, we just have to let God handle it in His time. Y'all with me? Let's move on to verse 12. We've already seen in verse 11 that those that have gone out to maim, kill, destroy, hurt, they're as good as gone. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Christian? Seek them. You can't find them. Them that contended with thee, them that caused you strife, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. That's saying the same thing twice. A thing of nothing. This is a thing. This is a cup. And it's full of nothing. I was watching one of the old Johnny Carson reruns Thursday or Friday night. And remember little Ricky Schroeder? Remember him when he was a little boy? And he came on to the Johnny Carson show. And he brought Johnny Carson a shirt with lungs printed on it for lung cancer awareness. And Johnny Carson held up his T-shirt, you know, and the little lungs. It was cute. But then he handed Ed McMahon a bottle. And in that bottle was fresh Montana air. He brought him some fresh air into that polluted city of Los Angeles area, you know. It was a bottle of nothing, is what I'm saying. And these that go out and hurt and destroy. It was cute what Ricky Schroeder did. But really, what he had given Mr. McMahon was nothing. Well, that's kind of where we are with our enemies. It doesn't seem that way. But by faith, we have to trust in God. By the way, just in a direct application, it won't be long till Israel will have do away with their enemies, or God will do it for them. But listen to this, verse 13. I'm almost done, but I'm going to show you something. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now, I'm going to tell you why I like this. Because he says this. Come here, buddy. Let me have your hand. He says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So he's walking, he's taking care of us, right? And this is a great thought that God holds us or upholds us with his right hand. But come here. I want to make sure I read this right. It says this in verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Now, I tell you, that got me thinking about this. This is cool. That God's got a hold of us and is upholding us and helping us. This is cool. But I don't have his right hand. But let me show you something. Now I do. Somebody tries to sneak up on you, buddy, I can let you know. I got his back, boys. We'll take care of you. I got your right hand. What this is talking about is there is an intimacy that is taking place. That this isn't just a God that's up dragging us around. Yeah, I'm going to get my glory out of this boy. Yes, sir. I'm going to uphold him whether he deserves it or not. Yes, sir. This is mine, and I'm going to make sure he's going to make it through. No. He's saying, I'm going to make it. We're going to make it through, man. I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. This is God just getting up close with us. Letting you know that he loves you. I don't know that God does. He's got a hold of your right hand with his right hand. And you're so distracted by what the enemy may be doing or has done or maybe even might do that you're forgetting that our God with his right hand holds our right hand, and he's nose to nose with us, face to face, and he's got your back, and he's saying, I love you. Everything's going to be okay. Let's all stand, please. Everything's going to be okay. No matter what has happened or may happen, everything's going to be okay. Our God grabbed a hold of your hand, his right hand to your right hand, and we can enjoy this beautiful, intimate, protective relationship that God has developed and his word has shown us in his word. Isn't it beautiful? We're going to have an invitation. And the invitation is just so simple. Lord, the old devil's fighting, and I sure could use your help. I sure could use your right hand in my right hand. I'm in that time, I'm in that place, and I need you. And I need you right now. Right now, it's 6:48. P.M. November the 27th, year 2016. Lord, I needed you yesterday, and I'll need you tomorrow. But right now, I'm seeking that right hand of righteousness. Would you please help me as we sing?